Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Verse number 7. 1 Samuel 7, 7. And when the Philistines heard the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Now watch verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Father, bless your word now. In thy holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Israel's greatly outnumbered, greatly outnumbered. The Philistines are their ancient enemy, all forever the enemy of Israel. The Philistines were the coastal people, and therefore they were the enemy of Israel and took them in captivity at times and made slaves out of them at times. And so therefore we have this terrible animosity between the two peoples. And so the Bible says that they had gathered together and they were going to destroy Israel. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school in the book of Esther, how that Satan time and time again has tried to destroy Israel. He's tried to destroy the Jews. He's still at it, by the way. He's still trying to destroy them. So they go to Samuel, and the reason they go to Samuel is because he's the spiritual leader of the whole country. Samuel. They believe in Samuel. They trust Samuel. And Samuel is the one who anointed Saul as the king of Israel, and there was never any question whatsoever about the authority to do that. They never questioned Samuel when he chose Saul and anointed him, the son of Kish, made him the first king of Israel. They knew it was from the Lord because they knew that Samuel walked with God. They knew he was a man of God. As I've told you before, when Samuel entered into a village, the men of the elders of that village would tremble because of who Samuel was. They were thinking, maybe he's bringing judgment down upon us here. And so therefore they trusted Samuel. And so they turned to him in a time of need, in a time of war. That's where we are today. We're in a time of need, and we're in a time of war. This is unprecedented in my ministry and in my lifetime. I've been here 73 years, and I've never in my life seen what we're going through right now. Something that is so small that you have to use a microscope to see it, yet it is bringing this whole world to a standstill. I would that you'd take note of that and think about the consequences of something so profound as that. But note carefully what Samuel does. In verse number 8, the Bible says, in verse number 9, rather, and Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And then Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel. Why did he cry for Israel? He cried for Israel because they needed an intercessor. They needed somebody that could come between God and them. You see, in the Old Testament, God wasn't that easy to get a hold of. In the Old Testament, there was only one who could walk into the Holy of Holies one time a year, and that was the high priest. He was the only one that could stand between the cherubim before the mercy seat and there commune with God for all of Israel and for the whole world for that matter. But his concern was for Israel. So he came before the Lord. Samuel, therefore, is one that has the ear of God. Isn't it a good thing if you get the ear of God? Where the Bible says here that the Lord heard him. I'm glad for that. But notice why the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him because he took a sucking lamb. Samuel knew what it was for the Lord to receive a sacrifice from man. And that sacrifice wasn't the work of his hands like Cain. He hadn't plowed up the ground. It wasn't the money that he had in his pocket where he might buy God off. No, it was a lamb. And this lamb gave him access to the Father. And my dear friend, we have access to the Father this morning because of a lamb. The Lamb of God who died 2,000 years ago. That gives us direct access to God the Father. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the one that went to the cross and died for us. Suffered that horrible, horrible death. I'm talking about the one who got at Gethsemane, bowed his knee. And there he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I'm talking about the one who said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. I'm talking about the one who walks on the water in the night time. And the children and the Jews see him out there walking on the water. I wonder how many times he did that when nobody ever saw him. Amen. I'm talking about the one that was born of the Virgin 2,000 years ago. And he called him Father when he spoke to the Lord. He called him Father in a way that nobody has ever called him Father, because he was the Son of the living God. That's my Lamb. Amen. He's my Lamb. He's my Lamb. And therefore I have access to the Father. I can get His ear today because of the Lamb of God. Amen. And now, my dear friend, God doesn't play games with you. He's not in the game playing business. Either He is your Lamb or He's not your Lamb. If you believe in Him, He's your Lamb. But He was first God's Lamb. For John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world." You see, God offered His Lamb first before I could accept Him as my Lamb. Amen. And my friend, that Bible says God heard Him. And when it says that throughout Scripture, "And the Lord heard Him," that's all it takes. That's all it takes. That means that His prayer was already answered because the Lord heard Him. Amen. Does God hear you? Has He answered your prayers? I've seen Him pray. I've seen the Lord answer prayers for me time and time and time again. I say, "Woe is me, because I'm a man of I've got faith, but I need my faith strengthened. I'm not a great man of faith, but I believe. I believe." And when I cry out to Him, He's heard me, and I've seen Him answer prayer. And I'm going to tell you something else. I've seen the Lord do things that while He was doing it, it made no sense to me. But looking back in hindsight, I have to say, my goodness gracious, why couldn't I see that when God's hand was upon it and God was doing it? Maybe He's doing something right now. I'll tell you something, my dear friend. Not so much as a hair on your head can be touched without their Heavenly Father knowing it. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I've got a Lamb, amen. And that Lamb gives me access to the Father. We need it today because we need to be praying today. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. Our prayers should be serious this morning. We should be crying out to God in intercession for a lot of people. Everybody in this house has people in your family members. People in your family that aren't right with God. They're not saved. And they're headed straight into this tribulation period that's about to come upon the whole world and try every last one of us. And we need to be praying for them. For I see the storm gathering. I see the clouds rolling in. I see the darkness as it begins to settle down upon this world. And I see the light. I know the light. And I know the Lamb of God that can save us from it. Amen. I want you to notice something about this. I want you to consider that right now a lot of people are thinking about their soul. They're thinking about eternal things. They're away from physical things. They're away from money. They're away from a good time and being happy and all of that. I'm not saying all of them are, but a lot of people are. They're wondering about what's going to happen to them. There's fear in the hearts of the people out here. They're scared to death because they think they may die. And my dear friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, dying is a horrible thing. You keep putting it off, you say. Sure, you put it off. Put off the thought of it, but as sure as you live, the death angel following you. He's walking in in your footsteps. He's walking behind you. David said, there is but a step between me and death. He knew that. And so it is with every one of Adam's race. The day will come when you will draw your last breath on this earth. Then where will you go? This is where we fit in. This is where we show them something. This is where we are something before them. If we go down to the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, if we leave this world, we need to leave it with joy and faith and victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what I want people to see. If I leave this world, if you leave this world, who knows how long we're going to live. But I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him. Against that day, I know who I believe and I know where I'm going. My friend, there's nothing money could buy. There's nothing greater than that on this earth. And I want people to know that. I want the people that are scared to death to see something in us that they don't see around them. They're going to blows out there. They're running over each other out there. They're cutting each other up out there. And it's turning into a zoo, friend. This is just the beginning of sorrows. It'll get a whole lot worse. I want you to consider what it says in Revelation chapter number 6 and verse 8. Turn there with me. Revelation 6, 8. I believe the book of Revelation. I had a pastor, a preacher tell me one time, he said, the book of Revelation is a closed book. I thought to myself, where do you get that from? I've never read in the Bible anywhere where it's a closed book. The Bible promises a blessing. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 6. Revelation 6 and verse 8. Now look at this carefully. And I looked and behold a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. Note carefully. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and beast of the earth. There's a famine coming. Hard times are coming. Right now is just the beginning of sorrows. It's the graciousness of God. It's God being merciful and long-suffering to us. He's that kind of God. He's trying to wake people up. Now, friend, let me tell you something. The Lord may not come for 15, 20, 30 years. I don't believe that, but it's possible. I believe He's going to come in my lifetime. I believe He's going to come soon. I believe the rapture of the church is going to take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Wouldn't that be wonderful to walk out of this house today and hear a shout and be gone to be with Him? But the Bible tells us here that hell is going to come on this earth. Did you see that? Look carefully. You say, well, that... Now, preacher, that's talking about the hell that people endure. The hell that their life becomes a living hell. Well, let's look at it again. And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. Death. Thanatos is the Greek word for it. Death. Death. Is this spiritual or is this real? Are men going to die? Well, they're dying already. They're dying by the tens of thousands. In plainer words, this is real death coming down upon men. Notice the second thing it says, and hell followed with him. You get to thinking about it. You think about the fact that God may open hell. He may open up the pit. It says in the book of Revelation chapter number 9 that an angel comes down and he opens the bottomless pit. And up from that pit come locusts upon the earth. He's literally opened up the gates of hell. He's opened up the pit. Now you know the Lord Jesus is coming back at the end of the tribulation, don't you? You know that He's going to come and the heavens are going to roll back like a scroll. And He that sit upon the horse, He comes on a white horse. And His name is called the Word of God. When He comes back, my dear friend, the Lamb of God, would it be possible that hell has opened itself up and all of those who have rejected Him, all of those who have said no to Him, all of those that have cursed His name might get a glimpse of their damnation and their eternity when they come up to see? It says in Revelation chapter number 6, death and hell followed Him on a horse. Plain words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior, dear friend. He's the only one. And all of these generations nations that have lived and rejected Him, they have to give an account. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What a thing to think that God opens hell and He lets hell come up on this earth. Now I'm going to tell you something right now. A lot of people are going to die and their life's going to turn into a living hell. They say that to die under this thing in some circumstances is terrible. They say that your lungs turn to mush, that you can no longer breathe. And they hook you up to all kinds of respirators and stuff just to get air into your system. It can go from that, it can go from literally melting your body for some folks to just a cough and a temperature and a fever to others, and practically they shake it off in a few days. Thousands, tens of thousands have had this thing and they lived through it and it was no big deal with them. But thousands, tens of thousands are dying with it too. That's where we are. Scary time, isn't it? It really is. We never lived in a time like this. This is where you need to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Are you a real believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you go home this afternoon scared to death, afraid of dying, not knowing what's going to happen to you? Well, before you leave this house today, you can know for sure that you know that you know that you know that you are born of the Spirit of God. That's the most wonderful thing. There's no greater knowledge on this earth than to know who you have believed. Look at Revelation chapter number 16, verse number 2. Revelation 16, 2. The Bible's talking about the time when these demons are turned loose on the earth. We find them in chapter number 16, verses 13 and 14. Look at that. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, my dear friend, but demon possession is on a rise. It's spiking. It is literally shooting up. Demon possession is everywhere around you. I just read an article in the paper the other day that said this woman was lifted up from her bed and she was elevated. She levitated at the top of the ceiling. She levitated for 6 hours. Her body was right at the top. You say, now, preacher, I don't believe that. Don't you really? That's demonic. That's the spirit world. The moment that you admit that there is a spirit world, it tears down your materialism. It takes apart your science. It takes apart all the stuff that people hold on to. Because once you admit that there's a spiritual world, then you've got to deal with that spirit that's above all spirits, that eternal absolute spirit who's Almighty God. You've got to deal with it. The Bible says that the spirits are coming. Demonic possession like you've never seen before is coming. Just a few days ago, here in Tennessee, a woman kills her little child. They're killing their children today. They're offering them on sacrifices unto their God. Did you know that Satanism is on the rise? These kids went to the beach down here in South Carolina to go swimming. And when they got to the beach, oh, the horror of horrors. Here are these spikes, about 6 or 8 of them. And on top of them are heads of animals. And these were living animals that had their head cut off. And they were given as a sacrifice unto Satan. They're finding this everywhere. All over the place, little children come up missing. They're missing because they're used as a sacrifice to the devil. It is the rise of Satanism. So what do, preacher? Do you run and hide? No! You preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood. There is power in the word. There is power in Christ. Amen. No devil, no demon, nothing out of hell itself can stand before the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where we are. There's some strange things happening now. Very strange things. I don't know where this virus came from. Oh, I know it came from China. But where in China? How did it get there? How did it come into being? And here's what I think about it. Now listen to me. I've been here a while. Do you know in this country and in your lifetime of a situation anywhere near like you're in right now? No. What if something comes down the road 6 months from now that is 10 times worse than this? What if a year from now? What if 5 years from now? With all of our technology, sending men to the moon and all of this stuff, the high technology, people have put their trust in men, in technology, in science. They worship at the altar of science. They worship at the altar of technology. They fall at the feet of men. But a thing that you have to have a microscope to see is killing them. Don't you think that that's kind of God's way of... You know, He has a sense of humor. He really does. He has a sense of humor. Maybe it's God's way of saying to you, I don't care how big your microscope is. I don't care how strong your medication is. I don't care how high your technology is. I don't care how advanced you think you are. All I have to do is send a little virus that you can't even see with the naked eye, and it'll kill you. We're vulnerable. What bothers me, I've seen SARS, I've seen MERS, I've seen the H1N swine flu. I've lived through all that stuff. We never had the kind of panic in that like we have now. Don't rule out the fact that God may be ruling, giving this panic to wake people up. Yes, using panic to wake them up. What do you think? Is it possible that life as you know it will never be again? I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. I don't want to be an alarmist. You know, I don't get up here with nothing but negative, 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 negative. But what I'm trying to give you is positive. What's positive, preacher? It's not what comes down the pike. It's not what's next virus is going to show up. The positive thing is that we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and hope in Christ. And if you're born again in this house today, you're ready to go to be with the Lord Jesus. Honestly, my heart warms. Oh, me of little faith, I said on the way to church this morning. There won't be 20 there. My wife said, and I won't be over 15. So there won't be anybody there. And when we get here, we've got about 80% of what we normally would have, maybe 90. Thank you. God bless you for coming out. God bless you for showing up. And God bless you for blessing this old preacher. I'm proud of Temple Baptist Church this morning. I am. I'm proud of you that you came and you showed that you have faith in Christ, and that regardless of how bad it gets out here, it's not going to stop you from worshiping the Lord. Amen. Amen. My wife and I talk all the time about if something happens to one of us. If I come down with this stuff or she comes down with this stuff, we've already made a pact. When it happens, we're leaving together. Amen. She gets sick, I'll be sick. I'm sick, she'll be sick. She doesn't want to be left behind, I don't want to be left behind. We've been married since 1966. That's a long time, dear friend. Since 1966. I'm ready to go. If I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. Amen. For whether for better or for worse, when I took her in that living room of Sandra Hayworth's living room before we got married, her sister's living room, and I held her hand, I said, I take her to be my lawfully wedded wife. And I'll tell you right now, she's still my lawfully wedded wife. And that's the one that I'm married to and I love dearly. And when she leaves, I want to leave. Amen. I don't stay here. There's nothing here. I want to go when she goes. How do you feel about it? That's what marriage is about.
We've been married since 1960. We appreciate you showing up.
God bless you, brother. 40, 50, 60 years. When you count the decades, 60 years. With us, it's 56 years. 54 years. Math is not my forte. 54 years. We've been married. Amen. 54 years. Anybody here been married 50 years? 50 years. How long y'all been married? 52 years? Y'all still love each other? Still friends? Y'all still friends? Get along? All right. 52 years. Amen. Generation today, they don't think a marriage can last like that. They don't. They don't think that, they don't believe it because of the culture. It's because of the culture you're living in. They've lied to you, people. They've robbed you of the good part. And that is a home. Well, I'm done. I'm finished. Maybe we'll be here. Maybe we won't. But whether I'm here or whether I'm gone, I know whom I have believed. Amen. Until the last breath in my body, I'm going to glorify God in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Father, in thy holy name, thank you for helping me, Lord. Thank you so much. And thank you for helping me in Sunday school this morning. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the souls that showed up in this house today. Lord, we're not running anybody down that didn't come. Lord, you know that. These are trying times. These are difficult times. They're different. But I'm thankful, Lord, for all that showed up in the house today. Thankful for them, Father. I ask you to bless them, Heavenly Father. Bless your word as it gone forth. It won't return void. And I pray now for those who are watching this thing live right now over the internet. I pray you'd bless them. Speak to them. Help them, Father. Give them the strength they need, Lord, to face what's coming. My Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Be with them. We ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the sweet, precious name of the Son of God. And for His sake I pray. Amen.